Second reason, because she was his Ishtadev. If he would have said her name, due to the ecstasies of separation he was feeling, he may have become so much overwhelmed that he could have gone unconscious. He could have become speechless, his voice choked up. And that would be difficult, because Parikshit Maharaj was going to leave this world. He had 7 days. And by the time they got to the 10th canto, he only had a couple days to live. So he had to complete the entire Bhagavatam. So he did not say her name directly. And another reason acharyas give us is by mentioning something very dear, indirectly. It is called paroksha. Paroksha in Sanskrit. Indirect inference. It is actually even sweeter. And how did he mention indirectly? During this section of Krishna's Raslila, when Sri Krishna left all other gopis, they happened to see footprints. There was Govinda's footprints. And there was also the footprint of a gopi. When they saw that other gopi, they understood Krishna left all of us. We surrendered our hearts, our lives, our everything for Krishna. And he renounced all of us only to be with this one gopi. At this point, Shukadev Goswami could not contain himself. The indirect name of Sri Radharani just sprung from his heart. Anayaradito nunam. That this one gopi, she is supreme. Her worship of Krishna is unparalleled. She is pleasing Krishna more than anyone else. Krishna is being controlled by her love. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has written that the particular gopi that said that particular sloka that Sukadeva Goswami repeated, Anayaradito Nunam, glorifying and saying the name of Sri Radharani, that particular gopi that spoke that verse was Chandravali. Most intimate. If even she is saying this, it has great, great, great emphasis and power. Prabodhananda Saraswati, he explains the power of Sri Radharani's love. When Lord Sri Krishna sees the beauty of his pleasure potency, he becomes so ecstatically enamored that his flute falls from his hands, his crown falls from his head, and he does not even understand that anything happened. The name Hare that we chant every day is a name for Srimati Radharani. Hare means she who steals the heart of Krishna. Prabhupada explained Krishna is Madan Mohan. Srimati Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini. Krishna steals everyone's heart, Hari. He even steals the heart of Cupid. At Madangir in Vrindavan, near Jamuna, Cupid came to conquer Krishna. He's on the bank of Jamuna. He aimed his bow and arrow at Krishna. And you know what that bow and arrow does to people. We all have that experience from time to time. And that's indirect. But here he is directly personified, appearing to shoot an arrow at Krishna. And just while aiming at him, he became so attracted that he fell unconscious. Therefore, Krishna is Madan Mohan. Madan is bewildering everyone, and Krishna bewilders Madan. But Sri Radharani bewilders even Krishna. Because ultimately, love conquers the beloved. Here in Bhadrasana Dham, one of the most enthusiastic festivals of the year is Holi. Have any of you ever been here during Holi? It's very difficult to describe. Right here where you're sitting, if you think the room is crowded now, multiply the amount of people here by about 500. Would that be crowded? There's people everywhere. Everywhere. It's like Prabhupada said that the jivatmas are everywhere. Well, you can get some understanding of that if you come here during Holi. And everyone's throwing these colored powders and dyes, and it's just, you can't even see any people. All you see is just clouds of red and yellow, and it's very beautiful. This is an enactment of a pastime of Radha and Krishna, Holi. It is said that it is a competition. It is a competition of love. It's not a sporting event the way they celebrate it in most parts of India today. In fact, in places like Delhi, even sometimes Bombay, people lock their doors and don't even go out during this day because they know they'll just be attacked almost violently. But the actual pastime is I'm trying to conquer you by my love by offering you this powder or these sweetmeats which represent my love. And there's Radharani's side and Krishna's side. And every year Radharani's side wins. Why? Because Krishna is conquered by love. That is the highest mystical secret of all the scriptures, that the supreme controller of all controllers is controlled by the love of his devotee. And where is that love coming from? That love, the origin of all love is Srimati Radharani. And anyone who she blesses by awakening even a particle of that love within their heart, even that person can conquer Krishna. Why? A devotee can conquer Krishna because of that little tiny insignificant particle of Radharani's love that she may bless us with. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that even Krishna cannot understand Srimati Radharani's love. In Dwarka, or was it in Vrindavan, Krishna was in the spiritual world of Goloka. Yes, in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna is looking into a jeweled pillar and he sees his own reflection. Such unlimited, incredible beauty he sees in himself. He's so attracted. Haribol. Now I know some of you, when you look in the mirror, you're attracted. But really, this is a very, very infinitely perverted reflection. Because the more you look, the more you realize how many defects are there. And as time goes on, you just take down all your mirrors. I have seen young, beautiful people, they have so many mirrors in their house, but when they get old, they give the mirrors to their grandchildren. But Krishna saw the infinite, inconceivable beauty, the sweetness of his image. And he was so attracted. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, he was thinking within his heart, I cannot understand the sweetness of my own beauty. The only person who understands this in full is Srimati Radharani. I cannot fathom it. Krishna's all-knowing. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani charjuna babashyani chabutani mamtu bedana kashchana. Krishna tells in Sri Bhagavad Gita, I know everything that has happened in the past, I know everything that's happening in the present, and I know all things that are yet to come. I know all living beings. I know everyone's desires. He knows everything. He is sarvagya. His mere expansion and expansion and expansion is the Paramatma, who is in everyone's heart. He's everywhere and he knows. That is Krishna. But there are three things that Krishna admits I cannot understand. And that is, one, what is the nature of Sri Radharani's love? When I see Sri Radharani, when she sees a tamal tree, because it reminds her of my complexion, weeping, trembling, hair standing on end, in ecstasy, she embraces the tamal tree. When she smells the fragrance of my body in the air, in a breeze, she just abandons herself and just leaps, trying to merge into the breeze. What is the wonderful sweetness of his love which only Radharani is able to taste in full? And the third reason, the third question he could not answer, is what is the joy that Srimati Radharani experiences by realizing the sweetness of his love? Krishna actually is revealing to all of us that there's more ecstasy in loving than being loved. There's more ecstasy in serving than being served. There's more ecstasy in being predominated than predominating. So thus, he decided to incarnate within this world. Only once in a day of Brahma does he do this. To taste the sweetness of Srimati Radharani's love. And when he told her this, that I am going to incarnate to taste the sweetness of your love, Srimati Radharani told him that then you will fall and roll in the ground in ecstasy, and I cannot bear that, so I will cover you with my complexion as well. So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the inner Mahabhav, or love of Sri Radharani, as well as her resplendent golden complexion. In Barasana, where we are so fortunate to be today, Lord Brahma revealed the same truth. In fact, right now, all of you may be quite embarrassed to know that you are sitting on his head. Does that make you feel very exalted, sitting on Lord Brahma's head? And when you get up, you'll be placing your feet on Lord Brahma's head. Please try to carefully evaluate this. Lord Brahma, he approached Krishna with such sincere, heartfelt desire. He wanted to participate in Krishna's earthly leela. But what position did he want to take? He wanted to take the position where the dust of the feet of Krishna and all of his devotees would always be on his head. Such humility, such venerable mood, understanding the greatness of the Lord and his devotees. He performed tapasya, he wept, and he prayed for such a benediction. So Lord Krishna gave him the benediction that he could become the mountain on which the residence of Srimati Radharani would be situated. So here in Barasana there are four hills which are the four heads of Brahma. Now it's not that after Krishna left his Prakata Lila, after the disappearance of Krishna from the earthly vision of this world, that the mountain disappeared. Still here. Brahma wants the dust of the feet of all Vaishnavas on his head. What does it mean to have the dust of the feet on your head? It means taking the most menial position of a servant. To be enjoyed. Now, this is a very, very extreme illustration. Because Brahma is the most exalted person in this entire universe. Who are you compared to Brahma? Sometimes people are considered very, very respected when they're old. Have you seen? It's like in India, people like to say, my Guru Maharaj is 110 years old. My Guru Maharaj is 120 years old. My Guru Maharaj is 80 years old. Because living a long time is supposed to give a certain sense of wisdom. And somehow or other, that is, you respect people who are old. Well, Lord Brahma happens to live, by our calculation, 311 trillion years. Haribo. And on his 310th trillion birthday, he's not brought in on a wheelchair. with four thick spectacles on his foreheads, with four sets of false teeth in his mouth, with eight hearing aids. On Lord Brahma's 310th trillionth birthday, he's young, he's youthful, he's strong. Haribo. That's Lord Brahma. And he sees the universe with his four heads. What is his vision? Grihasthas are happy when they have big families, yes? These are my grandchildren. One time Srila Prabhupada was visiting a life member's house with his disciples. And he was introducing, this is my children, and this is my daughter-in-law, and this is my son, and this is my other son, and this is my daughter-in-law, this is my grandchild, and this is my grandchild-in-law, and this is my great-grandchildren. Just went on and on and on. And for such a long time, he was just introducing so many of his descendants. And Prabhupada turned to one devotee and said, this is his sex life. So this is another very respected thing. We have many grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. But Brahma, every living entity in this entire universe who has a physical body is his great-great-great, many great-great, we're all his children. Haribo. So he's a very exalted person. And he's the king of Brahma Loka. Very exalted position. Indra can only take that role for a certain period. Then according to his karma, depends what he does when he's Indra. He may be elevated or he may become an insect. But Brahma never loses his position as Brahma during his 311 trillion years. And no demons ever went to Brahmaloka. It's the most incredible heavenly planet with very highly self-realized souls. But he was willing to give all that up. For what purpose? To get the dust of the feet of the Lord and his devotees on his head, to engage in service, take the most insignificant, humble position of servant. Why? Because the origin of all service is Srimati Radharani. The origin of all love is Srimati Radharani. And what she has is what every living entity is eternally longing for. We must approach in this spirit. So these four heads of Lord Brahma, this particular mountain is called Bangar. It is the place where Srimati Radharani's home is eternally manifested to those who have the spiritual vision to perceive. It is the home of Vrishabhanu Maharaj. In the scriptures and in the writings of the Goswamis, generally Barasana is referred to by the name Vrishabhanupur, the town of King Vrishabhanu. And Srimati Radharani is very humbly called upon as Vrishabhanu Nandini, she who gives unlimited joy to her father, Vrishabhanu Maharaj. The Goswamis explain in great, great detail what was the nature of the home of King Vrishabhanu. Here he lived in this very place where the temple is, with his beloved wife Kirtida, with his three children, Sri Radharani, Sri Dama, and Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Radharani. And the next mountain is called Dangar. Dan means the place where Krishna and Radharani would perform their Dan Lila, where Krishna would ask tax from Srimati Radharani. Beautiful pastimes took place there. We will be going there in just a few minutes. Another hill is Bilaskar, where so many beautiful pastimes of the Lord have taken place. And there is Mangar, where Srimati Radharani would go in order to increase Krishna's pleasure by appearing angry with him. Acha. Radha Govinda Maharaj ki jai. Why are you sitting there, Maharaj? Please come. Everyone, let us welcome Radha Govinda Maharaj. Should we end here? In this song we sang, Sri Rupa Goswami is appealing for Srimati Radharani's compassion. Karunam kurunai karuna barite sanaka sanatan varanita charite. O you who are filled with compassion, whose divine characteristics are described by the great sages Sanaka and Sanatan, O Sri Radharani, please be merciful to me. We love to tell this story. Just outside of Radha Kund, there is a place called Shivakori, where Lord Shiva guards Sri Radha Kund. There is a lake there. It is described that one time a jackal was being harassed by young children. Now, for those of you who know the caste system amongst animals, jackal is the lowest caste. They're like untouchables amongst other animal species. If you want to insult someone, you call them a jackal. If you want to praise someone, you don't say, "Oh, your eyes are like a jackal's." You ever heard? Not like that. Or his nature is sweet like a jackal. Or such a respectful person, so gracious like a jackal. No. If you want to insult someone, you call them jackal. And that's the way even animals insult each other. So there was this jackal, harassed by children. They were just throwing sticks on him, throwing rocks on him, and the jackal was just being pounded by sticks and pounded by rocks. He was in mortal pain. He was running away, and the children, you know how children are. They were just running after him, laughing, and throwing more stones in his head and crushing his limbs, and he was running, and they were throwing, and he jumped in a hole to escape. So they lit the hole on fire to burn him out so they can just keep beating him. So the jackal was screaming in pain. Srimati Radharani happened to be walking by with her friends, and she heard the jackal calling out for shelter. So she sent her most intimate associate. She didn't just send anybody. She sent Lalita Sakhi. That person is crying for shelter. So Lalita Sakhi went, and she saw the children burning, waiting outside to pound that jackal. And she chastised the children and chased them away. She put out the fire. Then she brought the jackal out and brought this, it was a female jackal, brought that jackal to Srimati Radharani. The jackal fell at Srimati Radharani's feet, crying, begging for mercy. And Srimati Radharani blessed that jackal to become her eternal associate in the spiritual world. That is compassion. We are all like that jackals. That hole is the whole of material existence. We're trapped in this hole of material existence. And the fire around the hole is the burning pangs of material life. Samsara dava nala lidaloka. Every morning we pray that this material existence, it is like a blazing fire. Samsara, birth after death, we're being burnt by the fire of material existence. Dukalaya mashashvatam. Birth, old age, disease, and death. It's painful. But when that jackal, sincerely, from the heart, cries out for mercy, cries out for shelter, when that jackal is completely devoid of all sense of false prestige and realize we are absolutely helpless, only then can we actually call out the names of the Lord with real sincerity. Srila Prabhupada said that just like A baby in a helpless condition is crying out for mother. That is how we must cry out for Krishna when we chant his holy name. The child does not think that it can protect itself because it knows it can't. So we are that jackal. When we realize what our condition is in that burning hole of material existence, we must humbly, helplessly cry out for mercy as we chant the holy names. And Lalita Sakhi, she is like the spiritual master. She comes on behalf of Srimati Radharani to actually, the spiritual master actually takes us out of this burning hole of material existence. We sing this every morning during our Mangal Arati. Extinguishes the forest fire of material existence. According to the sincerity, according to how we are actually, with all humility at our command, taking shelter, the spiritual master uplifts us, delivers us. He wants to give us everything. But our service attitude is what makes us receptive to his unlimited causeless mercy. It is all ultimately the compassion and the love that is Srimati Radharani. All compassion, all love, all kindness. Its origin is Srimati Radharani. So Rupa Goswami is appealing for that compassion. Such an exalted person. Most exalted person in our creation is Sri Rupa Goswami. But he's crying for compassion upon him. You can only cry for compassion if you really understand that you're helpless, you're lowly, and you're suffering. It's not that a common shopkeeper shows compassion to Mr. Tata or Mr. Birla. I will give you compassion by giving you some Odomos mosquito repellent. Compassion comes down. So unless we feel ourselves like Rupa and Sanatana approached Lord Chaitanya, how could we cry out for compassion? So Sri Radharani is the unlimited ocean of compassion. And Srila Prabhupada would often explain that when Srimati Radharani is pleased with the sincerity of our service attitude, when she is pleased by how much we are serving Guru and Vaishnavas, when she is pleased by our eagerness to hear the glories of the Lord and to sincerely chant the holy names, then she tells Krishna, from her heart, this devotee is better than me. Please accept him. Krishna must accept, Prabhupada said. Krishna must accept when it comes from her heart. So that is our hope. And that is why we have come here to Barasana. We have not come simply to see various spiritual sites. We have come to beg for mercy. We have come to beg for compassion. As unqualified as we are, on Srila Prabhupada's order, on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, we want to be instruments of her compassion in this world. We want to serve the Vaishnavas. We want to serve the suffering conditioned souls by being instruments of her supreme love coming through Guru Parampara. That is our aspiration. That is our life. Krishna tells in Gita, there is no one more dear to me than those who are broadcasting my message. What does it mean to broadcast the message of the Lord? In essence, it means to surrender. To surrender to be an instrument of the love of Guru, which is the love of Radha and Krishna, which has descended in this world through the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada established a society that was very much organized in such a way to give more and more and more people access to the prime benediction of the holy name. But if we actually want to be instruments, we must surrender. We can only be instrumental to the degree we surrender. Surrender to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and these great Vaishnava literatures Prabhupada has given us. Recently we heard from Shruti Kirti Prabhu. He spoke for over 4 hours. Prabhupada put so much of his life's energy, meticulously, painstakingly, into his books. He was so absolutely thorough at every moment in how he presented his books. He said that was his main sacrifice in life, to give us his books. Why? If we love him, we will reciprocate by being eager to hear from them. And he, on the authority of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, emphasized the Yuga Dharma, sincerely, attentively chanting the holy names. In what spirit? Trinarapi sunichena taror iva sahishnuna amani na manadena kirtaniyasa. Humble like the straw in the street, tolerant like tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In this spirit, to always be aspiring to chant the holy names. This is the principal vow that Srila Prabhupada asked us to take, to avoid the 10 offenses and humbly chant the holy names. Kaviraj Goswami said, take this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, and string it. String it on the necklace of the holy name and wear it always. Never forget it. And with this empowered conviction that we gain by hearing and chanting, to be an instrument of Radharani's compassion in this world. That is how we can please Srila Prabhupada. That is how we can best please Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. And when Sri Radharani sees we are sincere, Prabhupada said she will turn to Krishna and say, "This devotee is better than me. Please accept him." This is the process of going back home, back to Godhead. Srimati Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan, Vrindavan Aishwari. On the order of Rupa and Raghunath, Sri Jiva Goswami wrote a beautiful book describing the coronation of Srimati Radharani as the queen of Vrindavan. In very basic summary, Lord Sri Krishna approached Vrindadevi and they devised a plan to coronate Srimati Radharani as the queen of Vrindavan. So, Vrindadevi had a celestial voice speak from the sky to Purnamasi, the Yogamaya potency of the Lord, that perform an Abhishekam to proclaim Sri Radharani as the supreme queen of Braja. This will bring all auspiciousness to all Brajbhumi and all the world. Then that same voice spoke from the sky to Srimati Radharani that do not hesitate to accept the position of queen of Vrindavan, for it will be the ultimate welfare of all living beings. So this was announced everywhere. And when Krishna heard, he became very, very happy. It was his plan to glorify, to reciprocate with the supreme love of his devotee, to accept a subordinate position to the ultimate love of Sri Radharani. Sri Radha Govinda Maharaj Ki Jai. Do you like to speak two, three words, please?
Hare Krishna. Sri Radhanath Maharaj and unke anugamiyon ko premiyon ko bahut dhanyavad. मुझे बहुत प्रसन्नता हुई यहाँ राधा रानी का गुणानुवाद हो रहा था. वेरी नाइस, बहुत अच्छा लग रहा है. राधा रानी के मंदिर में राधा रानी का गुणानुवाद राधा नाथ स्वामी कर रहे हैं. बहुत खुशी की बात. बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद, हृदय से धन्यवाद देता हूँ. हरे कृष्ण महाराज.
यू आर राधा गोविंद स्वामी. So Srimati Radharani ascended into the bathing platform where she was put upon a beautiful jeweled throne. And the Brijavasis brought water from Manasa Ganga, Jamuna, as well as the Saraswati rivers. and they bathed her. They bathed her with yogurt, ghee, milk, panchamrita, panchagavya. After this glorious abhishekam, the devotees were dancing and singing. Everyone was very beautifully decorated for the pleasure of Sri Radharani. The whole Vrindavan was in transcendental happiness. Then they dried her and put the robe of a queen upon her with beautiful ornaments. They decorated her with the flowers of Vrindavan and placed her on the throne. It was then that she was officially proclaimed Vrindavaneshwari, the Empress of Love, the Queen of Vrindavan. After this, the demigods showered unlimited flowers upon her and presented so many beautiful gifts. All around Vrindavan there was instruments playing, singing and dancing. Then it came time, now that she was queen, for her and her associates to allocate various responsibilities to people. This is a pastime. So she made Lalita Sakhi prime minister. Lord Sri Krishna approached Lalita Sakhi and said that he desired some service. And she said to him that actually anyone who sincerely wants to serve, all their desires will be fulfilled. What service would you like? He said, I want to be Harivo Tamopaha Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Harivo Harivo. I want to become the chief constable, like the sheriff. And my service will be to roam throughout all of Brajbhumi proclaiming there is only one queen, Srimati Radharani. Lalita Sakhi replied, then you must fill out an application and submit it. So he made his application. And Srimati Radharani and all of her ministers, they read the application. Krishna wrote, all glories, to the Queen of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani. I offer my obeisances with folded palms, and I beg that you offer me the service of being your chief constable. And I promise, if you give me this service, every day I will roam throughout all of Vrindavan and announce the glories of Sri Radharani, that she is our only queen. And I will not allow any thieves to act within your kingdom. So they were so happy to receive this application that they presented Krishna with the uniform of chief constable. He had turban, he had a badge, a medallion to show his position, and they gave him a golden stick, the rod of chastisements, so that he can exert discipline when it was required. So Krishna was very happy. He was roaming through all the 12 forests of Brajbhumi, proclaiming this message. Brishabhanu Nandini is our only queen. I, her lowly servant, proclaim this today. Everyone was so happy to see Krishna proclaiming this message. Now, every day, Krishna was to come and submit a report of his day's activities. So he described what he had done on that day, and everyone was very, very pleased to hear. But then he said that, actually, you know what he did? He secretly hid his flute in the Prime Minister, Lalita Sakhi's, beneath her veil, and she didn't know it. So Krishna said, but one difficulty happened today. Someone stole my flute. Vishakha was very happy. She said, this is very good. Finally, we can sleep peacefully. Lalita Sakhi, she said, you are incompetent. How are you going to protect other people's possessions if you cannot even protect your own possessions? Therefore, you should officially resign from your post. Krishna, with folded hands, said, I am a very lowly servant. But I have been informed that one of the royal executives of the queen has stolen my flute. You make this accusation? Lalita Sakhi said, everyone, open your veils. So everyone opened their veils. And she opened her veil, and the flute fell out to the ground. Krishna said, I think the Prime Minister should resign. Lalita Sakhi, she was very much excited. She said, you hid this flute in my veil so that you could usurp my position as Prime Minister. So then it was decided by all that Krishna should take an oath of honesty before the queen and tell the truth. Hari Bol. So Krishna approached the throne with folded palms, trembling. And Srimati Radharani looked upon him. And with great love, she said, it is by your desire, Shamsundar. It is by your desire that you have made me into a puppet and put me on this throne as queen. I too have a desire. Give up your dress as a constable and sit on the throne with me. So by the loving offering of Srimati Radharani, Krishna was put on the throne to sit beside her. Devya Brinyan, Rupa Goswami says in this beautiful prayer that sitting on a jewel throne, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, are worshipped with great love. So this is the principle, that the ultimate power is the power of love. The ultimate wealth is the wealth of love. Krishna possesses all six opulences. He has all knowledge, all strength, all fame, all wealth, all beauty, all renunciation. But he is Bhaktavatsal. He is Radharaman. He is conquered by the love of his devotee. So this should be our prayer in the abode of love, Vrishabhanupur in Brajbhumi. Lord Jesus Christ, he said, What is the use if you have the whole world if you lose your eternal soul? The first and great commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. This is the universal principle of all religion, to love God. Without love, we are in internal poverty. Without love, we are in a pitiable condition. So we have come here to beg for that love. And Srimati Radharani is the ultimate reservoir of all love. So let us pray that by her mercy we can become truly humble, that we can give up this enjoying spirit and take refuge in the attitude of servitude. That we could give up our egoistic entanglements and simply want to serve and please the Lord and His devotees. That we can become instruments of the compassion of our spiritual masters. That we can truly desire a great eagerness to hear the teachings and the glories of the Lord. That we can offer our hearts and souls. That we can truly and sincerely beg for mercy. And that Krishna will be pleased when we loudly cry out His holy name. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananti Koti Vaishnava Brinda ki jai. Shri Radha Rani ki jai. Shri Radha Shyam Sundara Dev ki jai. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Nitai Gauravanandi. Thank you very much. Now we will have kirtan procession to our next destination.